Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. I'm back again. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus, as I'm sure you've become very knowledgeable, Coins Plus has been in business 20 years as a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. That means there's nothing in our industry we don't do. We don't just have a niche. You can handle everything here from precious metals, coins, buying, selling. A lot of guys are on limited budgets. They have small operations, small clientele base, small inventories, whatever. That's not us. Other companies specialize in selling. There'll be marketing companies where that's the, you know, you see the advertisements on TV, buy gold, you call, you get a commissioned salesperson, he starts spinning plates, pretty soon he's talking you into something you didn't ever want, and, you know, and it's a lot of times, like I said, the products they're selling are all right, they just charge too much. Another problem is the products they sell will be all right, but they're not great because they don't have any control. They will literally go out and, you know, they'll sell a product that they can pick up the phone and get all they want of. So as I was discussing on Friday, when we do our balanced portfolios, we have a very, very substantial inventory. We're very well capitalized, and we have a multi-million dollar inventory, and it's all severely under lock and key, very well secured at multiple layers, not just cameras, but firearms and other things like that, and all kinds of, it's just built really well from the ground up. Just thought I'd put that out there in case anybody got any ideas. But basically, we have an extensive inventory, things that literally I've specialized in for decades, where I literally find products and I hold products. I hand select products for my clientele. I keep a substantial inventory in our vault. There's quite a bit of stuff that I'll buy in over time, and it just gets put away and it doesn't always get processed properly. And then when we get around to it, then we'll pass it on to our private investors. But it's far different than anything you're going to get anywhere else. I think the way to look at it, and it's hard to understand if you're not into coins, but as I've discussed, the desire for wealth and quality has always been there. It's built into us by our God. And if you could go to auctions, you know, and you could, on any collectible, and you could hand select the really good stuff and just tuck it back, that's what we've done with coins. So when you get to the numismatic portion of your portfolio, what we're putting in there is very special stuff. It's going to perform incredibly well. The demand is high. In a lot of cases, the guides we use, which are wholesale guides, are low. So in some cases, the day you buy it, it's, you know, the market on it is 40 or 50% higher than what we sell it at. But we just sell everything based on wholesale. So we do that. We specialize in that. We offer the highest highest rated privately held depository service in the Northwest region and beyond. And we buy and sell pretty much anything to do with precious metals. We buy old jewelry, gold jewelry. We buy silver jewelry. We buy dental gold. they used to use a lot. We buy anything that is in the form of gold or has gold in it, silver, platinum, palladium. We've just bought a lot of things over the years, and we buy nuggets out of the ground. We've got, you know, I even collect some, I mean, with quartz in them and stuff like that. But anyway, so there's nothing we don't do. We strive to be fair, super well-balanced and fair, small margin type stuff. That's our goal. So we're always buying and selling the precious metals, always buying and selling the stuff mentioned, always. In 21 years of business, there's never been a time where we have not been engaged in the purchase or sale of the products we're discussing. And I've bought a lot of other weird things over that time, from quality guns I've traded in as a private collector. I've bought cool antiques. I love watches, old antique, high quality watches. Anything that's small and compact and cool, I kind of like. It doesn't mean that I resell it. I have a basement full of antiques. So there you go. I went down that rabbit trail. Rare coins I'm obsessed with. I love them. Truly numismatic coins I absolutely adore. And that's my area of complete passion. And that is an area that we help you as well as investors. The market right now, as I've discussed, by the way, let's just say you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus. Our phone number at Coins Plus in Spokane is 444-0044. Outside the area, toll-free, it's 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. Or we're always available to email through our website at coinsplus.com. So essentially, if you want to get a hold of us, do it. We do like to talk by phone. Sometimes that's easier. But we do specialize in all things. We'll help you with 401ks and IRAs. We do rollovers, rollouts. I think we're doing quite a few rollouts now. And a lot of that's based on the market, and I'll talk about that here in a sec. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation, or, you know, precious metals portfolio building. And that just means that you're securing a hard asset, a permanently, you know, a timeless hard asset that you just tuck away, you sit on, you rely on. Will it grow? Absolutely. Just like real estate, you know, I have a house I picked up back in, I think, during the market, you know, when the market was really bad in 08, 09, and it's doubled in value. And it, you know, the coins are going to perform the same way. The coins are a little counter-cyclical to the stock market. And the stock market has been artificially jammed up so high lately, it's unbelievable. We do a deal in diamonds as well. We've had pretty high demand. I mean, we've got extraordinary volume of those, but the demand for them has just gone through the roof, which usually to me means, well, not usually. I know from experience that means that there's serious market pressure, which means there's going to be price increases. I've seen this, like I just mentioned, in real estate. Quality real estate is starting to get super strong in our area. Numismatic coins are just getting super strong for good quality product. And, you know, the precious metals have been, you know, they've held level. And some people are like, oh, that gets kind of boring. Well, not really. When you think about the fact that they are propping up the stock market, just jamming it full, you know, kind of beyond anything reasonable. Folks, you've got to realize there is a reasonable level of growth in any market. There's a reasonable level of inflation. And anything over and above that is you start to breach nature. It's I kind of really believe in Newton's, you know, theory that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And when things, you know, what goes up must come down. I mean, if something goes up too far, too fast, it does not stay there. It just, nature's proven that. Financial markets have proven it. The question is, what's too much? That's the real magic question. And sometimes that's hard to tell. But the important thing is, when something is in a bull run, when it is just sort of nonstop, you know, just growing and growing and growing and growing day in and day out, that's not a good time to be buying it. And trust me, I've gotten caught up in that myself considerably in more than one occasion, but I do believe I'm brighter than that now. And we also guide our clients in that way. And so we will help you make a buck when the market is strong, and we'll help you preserve your capital when the markets are weak. We don't deal in a residual-based, well, we don't deal in any kind of commission is what I should say. So you have such a conflict of interest if you have a stockbroker. I don't even care if you're in an IRA or 401k. The difference with an IRA or 401k through an employer, the broker's making a commission you just don't get to deal with them because you're not the client. The client is actually the employer. The employer is the one that's getting trips, you know, dinners and boat rides or whatever it is. And trust me, that does take place where they literally will get trips and they'll get all kinds of things. They'll get drastic discounts on cars or, you know, there's all kinds of ways to pay to give them kickbacks that are unfortunately legal. So they are making a commission on your 401k or IRA. You just aren't shaking the guy's hand. Somebody else is. What's worse about that is you look at your employer's plan and you say, well, I've talked to some people that have no diversity options, which is like, ouch. Other people say, yeah, I have some options. You know, I can go into the conservative investments. I talked to this gal the other day. She goes, yeah, I have some conservative stuff. And I said, well, what is it? And she said it was the Franklin 321 fund or whatever. And I'm like, are you serious? We've lost our minds, okay? That fund is not conservative at all. It has shown some growth while the market has run strong. And I'll tell you the other thing. I talk to people daily. Folks, I will put my name on this. The Dow is going up. People are not making that level of gain on their own private investments. Why? Just trust me in this, I guess, to understand it. If you have, let's just say you had, first of all, the reason why is it's an artificial index. They remove and replace stocks, and they use a weighted moving average. So to keep it simple, let's just say you had three stocks that were in the Dow Jones. Now, say you bought those three stocks and the Dow Jones showed them. Now, remember, the Dow Jones doesn't own the stocks. They just use them as a reflection of the market. So let's say that you owned those same three stocks. They were all three at 100 and one dropped all the way down to 50. Now you got $250 if you have one share of each. When that stock drops all the way down to 50, the Dow Jones has a weighted moving average, which is like a board, across those three stocks. So when one goes down, the board may not even hardly tilt down to show you the real drop. So the index may show a 10% drop when in fact the stocks in the index went down 17%. The other thing that happens is, let's say that same stock drops all the way to 10. It was at 100, it's at 10. So that weighted moving average on the Dow, that board that's sitting on those three stocks, and remember, this is an extreme example, they can remove that stock at 10, put another stock in that reaches all the way up and touches the board, say 90, and act like nothing happened. Okay? You just lost 90 out of 100 points on a stock. You can't, you know, have a weighted moving average and remove and replace stock. You got to understand that's the truth. It's a deception. I talked to a guy this last week and I'm like, so I assume you've probably been doing pretty good on your stocks. He goes, no, not really. And I'm like, why? What do you got? You know? And then he's in these supposed funds that are supposed to be legit, you know, I mean, Fidelity stuff, all this stuff, these companies, you know, these fund managers supposed to be so legit. This guy's losing his butt. While the Dow has gone up, you know, since Trump got in the game, the Dow's gone up supposedly, you know, 14-15%. And this guy's lost a few percent over the last few months since his election. You know, the moral of the story is, folks, the smoke and mirrors everywhere we turn is out of control. It really is. I mean, years back when Obama was really getting rolling, I did a lot. I kind of got into this groove with the radio shows were on deception. And I just was like, man, I mean, I was going crazy just listing off hundreds of areas they were deceiving us in. And it's so hard to believe. If you listen to this, you're like conspiracy freak. You're like, well, you're crazy. Everything you talk about is a conspiracy. It's like, oh, you know, was Trump wiretapped? And now he can't prove it with documents. Well, here's what I don't get. General Flynn spoke to the Russians from Trump Tower and, you know, denied part of the conversation, and then suddenly the conversation gets leaked. So General Flynn was tapped while he was part of the Trump campaign working from Trump Tower, okay? So the left created this false narrative all based on the fact that Trump jokingly said, when they asked about Russian hacking, he jokingly said, well, if they have hacked, you know, please get Hillary's old emails that we can't find, kind of thing, as a joke. And the left went crazy, lost their sense of humor, and, you know, and created this false narrative all along that they're trying to hang on him. And, you know, the problem is it's dishonest. It's unethical. It's not real. Now, Trump honestly has issues. I agree. I don't like his impulsivity. I think his Twitter stuff is sometimes a little bit reckless, and I think that he's a little bit impulsive, and I don't think he's as articulate as I would like him to be. But he's a lot smarter than the others. He's done some things that bother me a little. I think that first travel ban wasn't well thought out. I think the thing the president needs to understand is people are individuals and people matter. So when Trump first put in that travel ban, if you want to refer to it like that, which it isn't, but a temporary stay, he just should have left loopholes for exceptions, and he should have, you know, handed it out in a little smoother fashion. He also shouldn't have had Rudy Giuliani out running off at the mouth saying that they did it. Instead of doing it for religious reasons, we decided to make it about danger, he says. And which was just foolish, implying they wanted to make it for religious reasons. The other thing that's kind of ironic that I was kind of been thinking about, they try to hold against Trump comments made during the campaign. So how many people out there have ever seen politicians stretch the truth during a campaign? Or say things they're not quite sure of, or even promise things they don't know what they're talking about. Like it or not, it happens. Campaigns are crazy. You cannot look at a comment or a statement of a candidate in a campaign and then apply that to his motives for any activities in the White House. You just cannot do it. They're two completely different roles. A campaigner is a salesman. The White House is a manager. You know, and ironically, one thing that's going on in this country, which I'm sure you haven't, you know, missed, is this absolute hatred, or I don't know, the absolute vitriol between the parties. And I'm going to see if I can find some, few of the quotes. Let's see. Okay, so basically, here's the deal. We've got a two-party system. Our founding fathers, folks, and I may have touched on this, but it's so important to understand. Our founding fathers warned us against a two-party system. Here's what's going on. We you know, every single thing that Trump does, you have this Chuck Schumer coming out. I mean, personally, the man just repulses me. From a spiritual discernment perspective, I personally feel that he's a yuck. And that's just me. But every single thing they come out, there's no sincerity. And the problem is they absolutely do not have the general public's best interests in mind. All they care about is getting votes. So they thrive on division. They thrive on separation now. Obama put this into place heinously and hideously. Obama is probably the greatest campaigner that ever sat in that Oval Office. He did not deserve the office. He was not qualified for the office, but he could speak in a way that people liked. And there's a level of ignorance there because none of it is factual. None of it is quantitative. None of it is objective. Everything is subjective. Everything is circumstantial. Everything is, you know, it's all testimonial. It's not real fact. And we have absolutely spun this country the wrong direction over this trash. I mean, we are out of control. So every single thing the Republicans do, we've got opposition. Now, how is that helping this nation? I mean, seriously, Donald Trump could, you know, use CPR to resuscitate a choking child, and you and I both know that the media would absolutely find something wrong with it, and they'd have every person and every theory of what an evil monster he was and how he, you know, shouldn't have put his hands on the child, and or how he did it just for attention, or how it was just a coincidence, or how it was a setup and they did it on, you know, who knows? But the point is, the guy can't win. And he is reaping a little bit of what he sowed, maybe 10%, 15%, but not 90% of this stuff. This stuff's tough. This stuff's wrong. And I'm not that old, but I've been around a tad. And I've been involved in politics for too long. And I'll tell you, clear back under the Reagan era, there was none of this stuff. It wasn't because Reagan was so phenomenal, folks. He was good. It was because the people, once someone won and became president, he got to be president. You know, once he won, he got to be president. We won't even allow the guy to be president. We won't even say, okay, you won, you're president for a while. Now do your thing. No way. We've got to just maim and destroy and cut down and deride and mock. And for those of you who know who Michael Moore is, he's this terribly obese left-wing individual who, you know, he was probably single-handedly responsible for the greatest damage to George Bush, George W. Bush's opinion. Popularity in the history of his presidency. He made movies about him, mocked him, you know, just if you watch, the movies are terrible. I walked into one when it was out back in the day and I watched about 11 minutes and I think I was so sad and sick. The way they talked about and mocked and the pictures and, you know, they made him look like a retard. It was just really sad and, you know, tied him in with this and that. Some of that may be true, but we've got to respect the position. We've got to respect the position. So here's what I was saying. We are at a two-party system. Please understand how this country was formed and founded. Our founding fathers created an election system. The election system consisted of electors. They were people that were nominated by the local states, that they were nominated for president, and they were nominated to vote for the president or run for the president. Those electors then would head to Washington, D.C. and gather together in a short multi-day process where they would be nominated. They would give speeches. That's it. One time. And it says in Federalist Paper 68, not a popularity contest, not about how good they look, just about how well they can govern. The electors would vote among themselves. And, you know, no public. It was basically a process hidden from the public. Because they didn't want any of this junk to happen that's gone on where the media ends up swaying elections. They wanted the representatives of the people to make the decision. So after the election of the electors, whoever took first was president, second vice president, and third, and so on, secretary and so on. It was supposed to be an absolutely, uncontestably, irrevocably nonpartisan position as a public servant. The president of the United States was supposed to be completely and wholly nonpartisan while in that position. Same with the VP, the secretary, and so on, until it went back to Congress and Senate, and then partisan politics could be restored. The problem now, well, we know what we've done, and it basically creates this, now we've got this two-party system that creates this heinous division. And by the way, in Federalist Paper 68, they recommend two personality types that would be best served as president. Number one is a successful high-ranking military leader. Number two, a successful businessman. They knew that both those people could run and lead. And then we end up with a community organizer who knows how to what? Break down, steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what these people do, is steal, kill, and destroy. So we're in a tough spot, I guess, basically. Pertaining to the two-party system, John Adams said, "There's nothing which I dread as much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its own leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This is in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution." George Washington repeated it over and over again, including in his farewell speech. He said, it's long, but he said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, which is natural to two-party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." He says, "But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of one individual. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, in other words, the leader, the candidate of one party or another, more able or fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes, think of this, of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty." Basically saying, the party will continue to elevate. They'll get so obsessed with winning that they'll elevate a candidate that's so strong and powerful, and they'll overlook the weaknesses. They'll overlook the Constitution. Eventually, they'll put this guy in office, and eventually he will just begin to strip away constitutional liberty. And he could go to the extreme of an Adolf Hitler. In our founding fathers, it goes on and on with quotes like this. They knew it was wrong. It was bad. It was forbidden. It was, you know, I've discussed this before. This is why we are where we are. This is not a good situation. I'm sure you would all agree. So another thing that's going on with the market, here's an article that says risk ignorance, and this is from Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, sharp, sharp guy. Risk ignorance reaches a 23-year high as short interest hits record low. Meaning, people's ignorance towards the risk of the stock market collapsing is at a 23-year high. In other words, their stupidity is unmatched in the previous 23 years. And he says at the same time, shorts, which means people betting the market's going to drop, the interest in shorts or the actual people buying short contracts hits a record low. What this says is that people are buying stock like it's going out of style. They are acting like it's going to go up forever. They don't even understand the markets. He's saying there's no interest in short contracts. None at all. None. No one's buying short contracts. That means nobody thinks it's going down. Folks, I'm going to tell you a little secret. When it gets like that, you bar the door. I assure you, the explosive growth, the unrealistic growth that we have seen in the markets in the last year or so is not natural. There's nothing backing it. The article goes on and says, complacency about U.S. stocks has become so widespread that severe losses surely lie ahead, according to Brian Belsky, chief investment strategist at BMO Capital Markets. In a report Friday, Belsky cited the ratio of the S&P 500 index's P/E ratios, price-to-earnings ratios, to the VIX index, which essentially shows how much investors are willing to pay for a given level of market risk. And what's happening is as the risk goes up, people are paying more for it. The S&P 500 fell in 3, 6, 9, and 12 months after past peaks on average, and it goes on. It basically shows, so the market is severely overbought, it's extraordinarily expensive, and it's crushing another long-held narrative. The wall of worry has been entirely demolished. So, folks, I don't want to get too technical on you here. There's tons of graphs, tons of information here, and the article goes on and on about, you know, all of it. There is a huge discrepancy between risk and reward right now and cost. People are paying way too much. It just simply means this is a pumped up frenzy based on nothing more than the last guy's investment. Venture capital, the more people that put in, the more the higher the market gets. Corporate earnings are down in general. They're not rising. Our economic numbers are stagnant in general. They're not rising. And yet the market keeps pumping up. So basically, what do you do? What you do is you make sure that you get out. You get out now. Take your profit and walk. Now, you get out and then you watch. And you're going to go, but it went up 2%. You know, who cares, folks? You know, as Warren Buffett said, not that we're quoting him, I prefer Solomon, but Warren Buffett, you know, precisely said, pigs get bulls get rich and pigs get slaughtered, meaning greed kills. Everyone knows, and Warren Buffett said it, and Warren Buffett's a multi-billionaire that specializes in investing. He says, when everyone's selling, I'm buying. When everyone's buying, I'm selling. This is a sign that everyone's buying. If you've got paper, anything, folks, just get out. We'll help build you a portfolio. Roll in, roll out, roll up, roll down. Whatever you want to do, we'll do it. And our investments are solid. They do well. Especially if you want to get in for a 10-year term or something. I mean, folks, over the next 10 years, now granted, there's a lot going on in this world. I don't know where we're going. But I can tell you that owning solid assets, hard assets, biblical assets, God-endorsed and ordained assets, you will prevail. I assure you, you will do well. And you will have heirloom pieces. You will have precious metals. This is a great time to buy. The market's been stably pressed down. It is held strong despite this growth. You know, there's people that predict all kinds of crazy stuff all the time for precious metals-based assets, and they've been wrong for decades. But the point is, folks, and I mean as far as saying they're not going to, you know, that they're going down. They haven't gone down. They've held so steady, it's not even funny. You've got to have a nice, well-balanced portfolio. We do this daily. We've done it to the tune of extreme volume over time, and this is what we do. So, and like I've said, I don't care if you have a small fortune or 10 bucks. Just deal with it. Protect it. And by the way, for those people out there that are like, I'm not rich, I don't have a lot, you got something. You got to be able to, you know, you got something. Start buying an ounce of silver at a time. I don't care. I mean, just do it, but just stay with it. Don't give up. And don't, you know, we'll get people doing that have really never had a savings account, and they'll start building up, and then they got to sell it. They just cannot stand it. They just can't stand having it. They can't stand having savings. So let yourself save. Let yourself build. Same thing with larger investments. If you've got a significant quantity of money, 100 or whatever it is, 1,000 or, you know, just buy it, hold it, let us get you secured and protected. I know that there's a lot of reasons why we should be heading for some seriously troubled times in this country. There's every indication around us. So just move into God-ordained, and starting in Genesis chapter 2, where he said gold is good, tov, T-O-W-B, that means the best, the greatest, the most phenomenal, my highest compliment, my greatest creation is what it means. He says, get in. You know, that's an entire sector he created for us. It is in our nature. It didn't happen by accident. Mankind created this environment. So get in. Get in now. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044. A couple other things to touch on quick, and then I like talk a little about financial stuff, which I never do enough. Let me see this. Here's something else to think about. We've got the recent release of information that the CIA is using every possible electronic device they can to spy on us, their own citizens. What I don't get, and I never will, is how people will absolutely hail the information that comes from WikiLeaks. And in the same sentence, they will call WikiLeaks basically a criminal. I have yet to figure this out. Julian Assange, the president of WikiLeaks or whatever his position is, he serves a wonderful purpose on this earth. I mean, I would never want to be him. I would never be him. I think that he's putting himself in an incredible level of risk, and I understand why people don't like him, because he exposes things. But he's done a beautiful, beautiful job of getting the truth out to the people. I think you'd all agree. It baffles me how our leaders get so offended by him. You know, I don't know. I could talk about that all day. I think the point is that he's a necessary evil. I think if they ever caught him and arrested him like they want to, I think it would be a travesty, because he's not creating this information. He's relaying it, and somebody has to do it, don't they? I mean, really, it's out there. And the CIA, folks, you know, they're violating our privacy in countless ways. I mean, they really are. We know it. It's like we know it, but then they lie and say they're not doing it, and they say it violates our privacy and all these things. If it violates our privacy, don't do it. If it's against the Constitution, don't do it. And I'll tell you what is so important, and if there's any of you out there that are thinking, well, you know, it's over our heads, it's beyond our control, well, you got to care. You got to care for one reason. It's called the Constitution of the United States. We have the right to privacy. And as Ben Franklin so eloquently said, anyone who's willing to give up their privacy or give up their liberty, aka civil rights, in the name of security, deserves neither security nor liberty. And we you know, that is the slipperiest slope imaginable. The minute that you begin to sacrifice or compromise your civil rights for security, it's over. You don't think our founding fathers knew that? Do your research. You will find out they knew well. I think what I want to do with the rest of the show that I just, frankly, I don't do enough, is I really want to kind of do an overview of just financial investing in general. I want to tell you a little bit. You know, this show was established a decade ago based on investing in finance, and I've gotten to the point where I talk about all kinds of things. So let's just talk about the reality of the financial world, even though all the other stuff that's going on distracts us from it. The world political and economic situation changed in 9/11 of 2001. Folks, the world literally changed, okay? I believe if you read Revelation 17, the second half, mainly if you want to keep it simple, just read 18. If you read Revelation 18 and then fit it and just look to fit it for towards the collapse of the World Trade Centers, not anything that's ever been put in your head before, but just clearly the World Trade Centers, each and every scripture fits perfectly as the collapse of Mystery Babylon. It seems odd because you're like, well, wouldn't that be an end times event? Wouldn't that be the end? But it kind of is. We're in a state of demise. When we look back biblically at things happening to nations, I mean, you know, even when the Babylonians were coming to, you know, steal, to basically take over Jerusalem, that took many, many years for them to go back and establish a huge army and then march that way. I don't know the exact time frame, but I'd bet it was 10 at least. It was, you know, people walked back then, and to move an army of a million was a big deal. God's timing is much different than ours. God allowed the Israelites to remain in captivity 400 years. And in the Bible, we call that the captivity. The Exodus, though, you know, took 40 years, and it should have taken 40 days or a week or whatever. And we call it the Exodus. I mean, we just give one nice name to these huge periods of time that are so profound in the history of mankind. Well, the collapse of Mystery Babylon in Revelations, I believe, occurred on 9/11 of 2001. It began the process of evil taking over the earth. It really did. And it got us into the mode of fighting and, you know, et cetera. So what happened then? America's really stopped producing. We've got debt running rampant. The reason that Mystery Babylon was destroyed was because of her, quote, excessive luxuries. It said she committed adultery with all the kings of the earth, and they got rich because of her excessive luxuries. It says, you know, they were all doing trade with her by ocean ports, which is definitely happens in that area. It says it was the financial hub of the globe that happened in that area. It describes a double event. Two trade towers went down. It says that that double event took place in less than 1 hour. They went down between the two and 56 minutes. It says that an archangel grabbed a millstone and threw it down hard into the ocean and said, with such great force, the city of Mystery Babylon will be thrown down. The towers were thrown down. And if you don't think they're a city, if you add up the total market capitalization of every business and organization represented in the World Trade Centers, it is actually more than the GDP of any single country in the world. It was the hub of the world. We did peddle all kinds of stuff to the world through it. They got rich through our adulteries, through our consumption of oil, our consumption of goods, and all of it was driven by debt. Every dollar we create is driven by debt. It says at the end of Revelations 18 that she traded in the bodies and souls of men. The Bible says that debt will consume your very soul. And trust me, it gets a lot more in depth than that. But I will just say, things changed drastically on that day. Our political climate absolutely turned around. We had a lot more respect. There was a better level of peace. This is before Iraq. This is when things were just okay. I traveled a lot. Your civil rights weren't being harshly violated all the time. I loved to travel. I flew in and out of a third world country one time without any ID because I forgot it or lost it or something. And the airline assisted me, and people go, oh, are you serious? Well, think about it. It wasn't that hard for them to verify who I was. A few pieces of paper, a couple phone calls. It's simple. We've just been brainwashed so bad. There's no risk, folks. You know your risk. How do you think they do the pre-pass through the TSA now, where you can just walk right through? Because they do a quick background check and there's no risk. 99.99999% of people are no risk. I'm actually low. It's more like I could spend the show going 99.99999. You know, it's that low. And we're so freaked out and brainwashed. And this is when things changed. Economics changed. They started to do anything. I remember when the big collapse hit. In 08, brokers would say, well, if it makes you feel any better, everybody's in it with you. We're all in this together. You know, that's going to make you feel better. You might have gone bankrupt, but we all went bankrupt together. Well, whoopee ding. Why didn't we all get rich together? I remember talking to a 72-year-old man and his wife who had retired comfortably. They were working at Walmart as greeters. All because why, you know? I mean, seriously, it wasn't the terrorist attack that did it. It was the Federal Reserve. It's because we didn't have any assets. If everyone was on a gold or silver standard, who cares? Folks, I had hardcore precious metals and hard assets. And I'm going to be honest with you for a minute. When the market crashed and everybody was hurting. I had coins, a lot of them, as an individual investor, precious metals, and I went out and I bought real estate, and I've made 100 to 150% on it just in the last whatever years, 8-9 years. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. You follow God's word, you win. And guess what? When the market goes like now, where the dollar is strong and supposedly, and which is also an illusion, but it's because they compare it against other world currencies. When the dollar is supposedly strong and the Dow's going up and all this, and I have all my money in coins and metals and real estate, guess what? I'm still in good shape. You need to obey God's word. He's kind of smart. The way that it's worked forever, as long as written human history has existed, just might be your best option. You might think you're smarter, or, you know, if you think how self-absorbed we get, you get these guys, well, I was going to buy gold when it was $350 an ounce, but I didn't do it, and I just can't bring myself to do it now. No, you're actually, that has nothing to do with it. You are the kind of person that will die poor. Because you won't do the right thing. You want to hang on to your money. I don't know what you want, or you want to be accepted by others, or you just want to go with the mainstream or not, or be intellectually lazy. I don't know. But it's pretty simple. I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. That's who I am. I don't apologize for it. And there's people that I know that'll say, oh, where's your radio show on? And they'll tune into it and go, man, you're kind of religious. And I'll be like, well, whatever. You know, it's who I am. But the point is, I say follow the Bible. You know, people that say the Bible's not accurate or it's got inconsistencies or it's an old relic, they don't know anything about it. Everything in the Bible's written timelessly. There's nothing in there. People say, well, I heard about, you know, a verse that says you stone people to death. Well, yeah. Back in the Old Testament, they were stoning people to death that now we put on death row. Okay? Not that bad of a thing. And it was just for Jerusalem, or just for Israel, to be set apart, to keep their race pure and clean, because God knew he had to preserve them throughout history, you know? So basically, the world's geopolitical climate and economics changed with 9/11. You've got to look at the world post-9/11. Brand new world, as if creation began that day when it comes to your finances. We're currently being completely run by our central banking fiat currency system. That means that banks run everything. All the money's fake. It's backed by nothing. It literally is propelling the globe towards an imminent economic and financial collapse at an exponentially increasing pace. It keeps going faster, harder, faster, harder. And Donald Trump, he's jumping right in. I mean, he'll do the same thing. He's going to produce more debt. He wants to produce programs because the media tells them, oh my gosh, we got to give everybody health care. We got to give everybody free education. We got to give everybody more of this and more of that. And we got to give all this unemployment. And folks, it's crazy what happens. A relative of mine is a human resources specialist and worked for a company that placed people for employment for a long time. And they would put their applications or resumes out on the web. She would get a hold of them, talk to them, get them set up for a job. And they go, well, you know, I got to be honest with you. I really just applied to kind of meet the unemployment guidelines, and I don't really want the job because my unemployment doesn't run out for 3 months, and I don't want a job until my unemployment runs out. Or they'd say, well, you know, that's a neat job, but when I figure all my expenses out, I'm actually making more on unemployment, or I'm making more on welfare. I can't take the job. One gal said, well, to make the same as I'm making on welfare with all my child care and housing expense, I'd have to make about $68,000 a year. Folks, this is our entitlement program. This is what we've done to ourselves. This is what the media is telling everybody we want. This is why Trump's confused. This is why they're up in arms. Oh no, the Trump insurance plan will end up with 20 million uninsured. Folks, I mean, granted, you want to attack the system. It isn't that people need more free handouts. We've got to get control of our medical system. It's out of control. It controls everything. The opiate madness. I was reading about that the other day. So stupid. One out of 16,000 prescriptions ends in detrimental effects, ends in hospitalization. One out of 16,000 prescriptions. And they want to tell you that it's this epidemic. It's so far lower than anything else. They want to push everybody onto heroin so they can keep the drug war alive. It's just, it's too bad. When people are getting pain meds, they know what they're getting. They know what's in them. So they want them on the street cooking stuff up and shoving it in rusty needles in their arms. This country's got a problem when it comes to the drug war bad. So anyway, our central banks are running us off the cliff. You can simply preserve and protect. That's it. We build portfolios. You come in, you call us, you give us the finances. We'll put it together for you. We put our hearts and souls into it. I promise you, we price it fair. Precious metals, you got to understand, these assets have remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society as far back as we can go. This is the stuff. There's a constant that continues there. It was mentioned in the second chapter of Genesis where God did all the creation. Then he said, go get gold. Here's where it is. It's really good. And he started the economy. And then the founding fathers or the patriarchs of the Bible got blessed with it. People started to use it economically. It became our monetary system. It's fungible, which means it's identical everywhere you go, anytime. It's universally recognized and accepted. People that don't get this, it's because you're from a generation that is ignorant. Just because you don't know, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. You know how many times we get people standing in here, I want this and I want that. And you're like, how about we take our decades of experience and build you something well-balanced for good times, in between times, and you know, bad times, everything. We get people coming in that just demand their own way 3 years later going, you know, if I'd have bought that one thing you said, I'd be right here right now. I've been watching it. And we're like, yeah, that's why we do it. It's balance. So you let us help you out. We absolutely have every vested interest in your success. We can't survive without helping you succeed. Coins Plus is locally owned and operated. We don't make our money on the web. We don't make our money with people calling in from 2,000 miles away. We deal locally in the Northwest. We've done well. Trust me, God's blessed us. But we have to look you in the eye. We've got to uphold our reputation in the area. And it's good. It's solid. Which reminds me, as a brief bounce off, if you want to go out, if you've done business with us or have good experiences with us, if you want to go post a couple positive reviews out on the internet, we'll give you a free borderline uncirculated Morgan silver dollar from the 1800s. A very nice coin. About a $40 to $50 value. Just to go put out a couple positive reviews, not negative, but positive. You know, like 5-star reviews on us. It can be on Google and wherever else, and we'll take care of you. Just contact us. We'll verify the reviews, and you'll get it. If we have to mail it, we'll mail it. I would think that most of you could invest, you know, the 20 minutes to post 2 reviews to get a $50 coin. But who knows? We get takers, but I'm sure there's plenty more. So precious metals have been real money or true wealth. They're documented, tested, tried, and true from the earliest written human history. We've had banks tampering with our money longer than you can even imagine. But they can't, you know, they can manipulate the metals prices, but it's always somehow tied into the market, and it's tied into the value of the dollar and so forth. So at the times that they really are manipulating the precious metals, it's usually when the market will allow it. When people get interested in the metals and start to pour back in, even the high quantity futures just aren't enough leverage to control it. Obama was very involved in the central bank starting in 2013, had a big meeting with all the central bank VP or presidents and CEOs. And the next day they began going two by two into massive, massive market manipulation through short contracts that has continued until now. It was to kill faith. It was to get people to move their money into the paper markets because Obama really doesn't know, nor does he care. Presidents want that market to look good, period, whatever it takes. He was very involved in manipulation. I'm hoping the day is coming, and it's usually the big Fed meeting, or in or around the big Fed meeting where the Fed's going to be raising interest rates. And by the way, folks, that's another thing. The Fed has assured us they're raising rates. You cannot hesitate to get in. When it breaks, I mean, your dollar's going to get weaker. The inflation kicks in. If you have $10,000 saved, as inflation kicks in, your spending power is getting consumed. Right now at, you know, 5, 6% a year. So your $10,000 is losing $500 or $600 a year in spending powers compounding. So just, you know, be wise. Again, I don't have enough time to cover the rest of the things, but realize all the consumer price index is artificial. We are subjected to deception all around. Precious metals-based assets have never become worthless. It's built into us. It's ingrained to us. Don't sit and bother yourself with what about this scenario, what about that. The bottom line is it's a hard asset that maintains wealth in all situations. The Bible tells us that clear to the end, you'll be casting it in the streets, which means it maintains its value clear to the last day. That's all you need to know. It's the only thing that offers that promise. That's it. It's cut and dry, tried and true, flat, simple information, basic facts. So it's really that simple, folks. Just let us help you out. Coins Plus, 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN through the website coinsplus.com. Let us help you out. We make it real simple. Just give us a call. We'll get the finances from you, and we'll get things taken care of. Again, always appreciate the loyalty. Appreciate you listening. Take care. God bless. Be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.